At the embassy bombings trial in New York, the jury is likely to begin deliberating tomorrow or Friday. Prosecutors say the four men on trial were part of a global terrorist network led by Saudi exile Osama bin Laden. They argue that bin Laden ordered the 1998 attacks on two U.S. embassies in East Africa as an act of war against the United States. 224 people died in the bombings, including 12 Americans. NPR's Melissa Block reports on closing arguments in the case.
These summations in the three-month-long trial have stretched out for more than 17 hours, with the government laying out the alleged roles of each of the four defendants and the defense teams swatting the evidence down. According to the prosecution, defendant Wadia El-Haj was the gatekeeper to Osama bin Laden, part of his inner circle. And the government says it was El-Haj who traveled to Afghanistan in 1997 and brought back orders from bin Laden to militarize his group's East African cell, the group that would carry out the embassy attacks 16 months later. But lawyers for El-Haj say their client worked for bin Laden purely on his legitimate business interests and knew nothing about the bomb plot. Attorney Sam Schmidt argued to the jury that association with bin Laden does not prove conspiracy. He spoke later outside the courthouse.
That's always been my fear, that he's being swept up in the hysteria of Osama bin Laden. Even though it is difficult, I think that many jurors, if not most jurors, are capable of putting that fear aside and judging the case on the evidence and the lack of evidence.
Defendant Mohammed O'Day was, according to prosecutors, a technical advisor for the bombings, an engineer who got explosives training in Afghanistan. Residue of explosives was found on O'Day's clothing, and the government introduced a statement O'Day made to authorities when he was arrested overseas, in which he said the bombers blundered by not positioning the bomb truck in Nairobi with the back of the truck facing the embassy to do the most damage. O'Day's attorneys acknowledged that their client was a sworn member of bin Laden's al-Qaeda group, but they told the jurors he did not join bin Laden in twisting religious principles in order to justify acts of violence. O'Day attorney Edward Wilford asked the jurors to show courage by reaching a verdict to acquit.
It takes courage for someone to sit at the dinner table with their wife and children, or to go to work in the morning and sit down with a group of people over the water cooler and say, hey, look, I found this person who was charged with blowing up the embassies of this country not guilty. That takes courage.
Finally, the two defendants who the government says confessed to actually carrying out the bombings, Mohammed Alawali, told the FBI that he rode in the bomb truck to the Nairobi embassy, threw stun grenades at the guards there, then fled just before the bomb was detonated. Alawali's attorney Fred Cohn said the statement was coerced, while Alawali was kept in a Kenyan jail, quote, in terrible conditions, in fear for his life. Cohn asked the jury to ignore Alawali's statement, and if you ignore it, he said, you have to acquit because there is no other evidence. Cohn admits that's a high hurdle for the jurors to overcome.
I don't know if they can do it. I don't know if anybody can do it. Can you do it with this number of dead bodies and injured? You know, and somebody who says in his statement that he's the enemy of America, and where the government is charging that he wanted to kill Americans, and I looked in the jury box, I didn't see anybody other than Americans. I mean, that's indescribably difficult.
The fourth defendant, Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, told authorities that he helped build the bomb that blew up the U.S. embassy in Tanzania, and he allegedly said he was happy that the bomb went off. His attorney, David Runke, tried to cast doubt on that confession, criticizing the FBI for not tape recording the statement. The FBI is stuck in the 19th century, Runke argued. Both Mohammed and Alawali could face the death penalty if convicted. The courtroom has been packed for closing arguments, the front two rows filled with survivors of the blast and family members of those who were killed, most of them Africans. And yesterday, the wife and son of defendant Wadia El-Haj came to court. The son played with a Rubik's Cube, as prosecutors described El-Haj as a conspirator with contempt for human decency who lied through his teeth. During a break, the normally expressionless El-Haj, a naturalized U.S. citizen, smiled and waved at his family. If convicted, he faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.